Today's gospel is found in the first chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Here ends the gospel. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, I forgot to mention my announcements today, but I guess my email may have been hacked, so if you got a weird email from me last night, ignore it, please. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Kids say the darndest things, don't they? It was a few years into being a pastor, and I was greeting people after our Easter services. I was serving in Montana at the time, which is a festive holiday, and everyone that comes on Easter are not always the people that are there every week. And I was being introduced to a woman and her son by a friend of hers, who came to our church. And I asked the little boy, "Well, what's your name?" And he told me, and then he said to me, "Are you Jesus?" Of course, if you've seen, I wear sometimes an alb, which is a white robe with a rope tied around it, and I was wearing that Sunday. And so maybe he thought, "Wow, this guy looks different. Maybe he's the guy we've been talking about." Well, I got down and squatted down to his level, and I said, "Oh, no, no, I'm not Jesus, but I'm his friend, and I love telling people about him." And he accepted that answer, and I talked for a few more minutes, and then said, "Nice to meet you," and his mom and son went off. That conversation happened 25 years ago, and came in back into my memory as I thought about today's gospel, because Jesus is a big deal. As a follower of Jesus, we represent him through our words and actions. I've said this before, that for some folks, we may be the only Bible they ever read. And so a lot of put upon us to be a witness, to represent him. And we're entrusted with this task of spreading the news. That's today's topic, spread the news. We spent the last couple weeks speaking about missions far away. A couple weeks ago in Nicaragua. Last week we had Pastor Bill Moberly Hill here to speak about awakening our lives to world missions. And today I'm going to bring mission back home, back to right here at Shepherd of the Hills, right here in our community, wherever you live, either Scottsdale or Mesa or somewhere else in Fountain Hills or Rio Verde. But it brings us right back here to our associations, to our friendships, to our families, to our neighborhoods. Our church is you. It's not the building. It's not where we meet. It's not on the corner of El Lago and Fountain Hills Boulevard. It's you, God's people, the baptized. You have been given a commission and a mission. And at our church, we say it this way, to know Christ, for us to know Christ and to make him known. That's spreading the news. Do you ever ponder this kind of big thought that we're here today? How did this message get from, 2,000 plus years ago? Well, first of all, there's no other bigger name in the world than Jesus Christ. John Lennon got in trouble because when they got off the airplane in 1966 or 65, when they did their American tour, he said something like, "We're bigger than Jesus." No, you're not, John. Sorry. There ain't nobody bigger than Jesus. Jesus is the biggest name in the world. And today's gospel ends with this sentence that it says, at once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. He was known. I can imagine that in that circle, he was all that was being talked about. Did you hear about Jesus? Did you hear about the guy named Jesus? He's from Nazareth. I wonder if he's the prophet. You heard in Deuteronomy this prophecy that was given to the Jewish people that God says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I shall put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. So since the time of Moses, which is a long time before Jesus, the Jewish people were on the lookout for a prophet. They were looking out for the Messiah. They wondered when he would come. And so you see, Jesus was a phenomena. His miracles, his teachings, his authority as he spoke the scriptures. Jesus was, as we understand in the scriptures, is the name above every other name. He was a rabbi, and what rabbis did in his time is they'd gather around them a group of disciples. So it wasn't just Jesus that had disciples, but every rabbi had disciples. And the interesting thing about Jesus is that when he called them, he just said, follow me. And they did. It was quite a motley crew. Some fishermen, tax collectors, and zealots in the same group. Tax collectors were seen as collaborating with Rome, and zealots were opposed to Rome vehemently. And he gathered these guys together. And a rabbi would have his disciples be with him like 24 hours a day. They would eat, they would sleep, they would walk together, he would teach. They would walk from town to town. They would learn. They would study. They would learn every aspect of life from their master. And what was remarkable is that Jesus picked these unlearned men, we think, to go out and establish churches, is what they did. And it went throughout the entire empire. Jesus affected thousands of people when he lived. But after he was crucified, he appeared to his disciples and told them that they would be his witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and in and all of Israel, and to the ends of the earth. The message just kept spreading. From the Jews who became Christians, and then this incredible story and this incredible incident to a guy named Saul, who was a Pharisee. He was a persecutor of the Christians, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Paul then converted his life to Christianity, and he carried that message throughout Asia and to Europe. The witness of how Christians lived is what really changed the culture. Because the Romans, say for example someone was sick, they would flee. They would say, stay away from this person. But the Christians would serve. The Christians would help. The Christians would love. They would care. And people looking at these two groups of people would finally go, I like the way those folks live a lot better than these other people. So that by the time of Constantine, I'm told that about half of the Roman citizens became Christians. So it was already this movement that was spreading. And then Constantine had this really strange vision that he would conquer in the name of Christ. And he saw this image that they put on their shields, and they began to conquer in the name of Christ. Historians and scholars debate whether that was the best or the worst thing that happened to Christianity, because certainly that wasn't the message of Christ, not the message of forgiveness and hope and good news and salvation. But nonetheless, Europe became Christianized. And it spread, and ultimately, Christianity laid the foundation for all Western civilizations. We see that in Europe, and that Christian foundation becomes the foundation of our United States. 2/3 of all people who call themselves Christians are in the majority world, and that represents 2.5 billion people living today who call themselves Christians. They call Jesus God, as we do. That's all the Americas, Latin America, India, Africa, Asia. I'm told that tens of thousands of people become a Christian every single day in this world. Tens of thousands. And there's no other religion or belief system that's larger in the world. And Jesus is right at the center of it. Now, to view this as a historian is astounding. To think about how 12 men became what we see today throughout history. But to view it as a believer, as one who loves Jesus, who knows Jesus, well, then it gets personal. You see, you and me, we're one of the billions who have had a personal encounter with Christ, and his salvation message was given from one person to us, and we are to pass it on to others. I'm not just a Christian today because it's the most popular belief in the world. I'm a Christian because Jesus is real to me. He lives. Today's gospel, he astounds the synagogue. He did this often. And when he's teaching, they say to him, "What is this? It's a new teaching and with authority." You see, the common practice in Jesus' time was for a rabbi to refer to the teachings of other rabbis. Yet Jesus taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, is what the scripture says. The scribes mentioned here may be some local group of pious, literate men who taught in the synagogue. By Jewish tradition, the faith was taught from one to another, and the teachings of the synagogues would be repeating the traditions that others have taught. Like knowing who to quote. For example, they'd say, "Oh, Rabbi so-and-so said this, so that's why we do this, and Rabbi so-and-so said this, and that's why we do this." But Jesus taught differently. He taught on his own divine authority. Not just repeating what others said, but he spoke the words of the Lord, just as the prophet that's foretold in Deuteronomy was said to do. He had their attention when he spoke. And then this man with a demon confronts him right there in the synagogue and says these things. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying in a loud voice, came out. And they were amazed. And they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority?" He commands even the unclean spirits to obey him. And at once his fame, as I said before, his fame spread, began to spread, and it hasn't stopped since. So Jesus is there teaching, and there's a heckler in the room. A man with an unclean spirit, as he speaks up. Why? Why did this happen? Well, we can understand that this man, probably not necessarily of his own doing, but he is a host for a demon. And so he is being controlled by a force, an evil force outside himself. That's what the devil does to us when we're trying to spread the message, as they did to Jesus. The devil always tries to intimidate, always tries to shut down the message. He tries to shut down the voice of God, even strike fear in the people sharing that message or twist the truth. The devil does that to us too. Jesus shows here that there's a pretender to the throne. That's the devil. And that from a other kingdom is this devil, but he's trying to resist the reign of Jesus and his kingdom. And despite the fact that Christ won the decisive battle, refuses to give up. He keeps on hounding Jesus and us. But Jesus was prepared to fight. You see, just a few verses earlier, he had denied the devil in the desert when he was tempted for 40 days. So when he faced public attack, he didn't hesitate. With one command, the demon flees. You see, Jesus' private desert victory led to public power and to another's liberation. When it comes to us spreading the news, we're not going to be able to spread that news uncontended. Even though Jesus defeated the devil and death and our sinful self, The devil contends against that good news going out. We are to spread the news, and that brings us into a spiritual battle. That can be a little bit intimidating for us, doesn't it feel that way? The idea of a spiritual battle, but first to realize that it's not an even match, because Jesus has already won the battle. So we're already on the winning side. He's already won the war for the world. So we can pray for strength and discernment to fight the battles waging within and around us today. Recall what the Lord says through the letter that James wrote. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Those that heard Jesus said, what is this? A new teaching? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. And his fame began to spread. And it hasn't stopped since. This new teaching with authority is not just for then, but also for now. The Apostle Paul, in his book to the Ephesians, encourages you and me to take up everything the Master has set out for us, well-made weapons, I guess, of the best materials, and put them on to use so that we'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws our way. He declares these weapons in chapter 6, and this is what he writes. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day and having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put the breastplate of righteousness on. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. And with all these, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Just as Jesus denied the devil in the desert, so when faced with public attack, he didn't hesitate. It's the same for you and me. We battle the devil in our own deserts, places. So when he raises his ugly head again, you can tell him to flee. And to apply this truth of what Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, I will share with you today a way to pray that armor of God, those spiritual tools, to be fitted for you. So you can submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So I'm inviting you now to kind of pray in your imagination. So you may want like to close your eyes and just sit silently, or maybe you'd like to look at the cross or look outside and the beautiful day we have. And I'm going to pray through each aspect of this armor and ask you in your spiritual imagination to put these things on. Lord, let us pray. Lord, we belt your truth around our waist. Lord, show me if there's anything I believed that is untrue. The devil loves to condemn and intimidate us. The devil loves to show us where we have faulted and where we are off. And he uses that as a weapon to set us off. Lord, today we belt your truth around our waist so that we can only believe what is true, what is from your word, what is your life truth for us, to not believe the lies of the devil and to stand in your love. Lord, we also cover our hearts with your righteousness. The scripture says it's a breastplate. Lord, your righteousness is the security that we live in. We know we can't earn your favor because you give us faith as a gift of grace to receive. And when we receive you as our Lord and Savior, you become the anchor of our soul. Righteousness is a gift given by Christ through his death and resurrection. Lord, we can't earn it. And Lord, please cover our hearts with your righteousness, believing, holding true, holding fast to your claim on us. Lord, we also ask that our presence would bring peace into every place that we set foot. It says to shod our feet with the gospel of peace. Lord, as we are, can be a peaceful presence, not full of worry and anxiety, help us to realize that you've given us these shoes to wear, peaceful shoes, and that just by us walking into a place, we can change the atmosphere through your Holy Spirit. So Jesus, please go with us as we think through the rest of our day, as we go home or to the grocery store or to a friend's house. Lord, may we be people who bring peace and joy and love to the places we go. Lord, when your enemy sends doubts, lies, and other arrows to wound us, shield us with the gift of faith that we can combat those things, see those things coming, and not allow those arrows to wound us. Lord, may we hold this shield up powerfully, knowing that you have claimed us and hold us and keep us. And finally, Lord, we pray and thank you for your saving help, the helmet of salvation. Lord, we think about our heads, our minds. Help us keep you in the front and center of our minds. Lord, Holy Spirit, fill us. Give us wisdom and God's word for every challenge that we face. Lord, these are the incredible weapons you've given to us, the best materials. Lord, put them on. Help us to put them on every day so that we can stand up to everything the devil throws at us. And Lord, help us to be people who spread the news. We know it will be a spiritual battle, but because you've already defeated the devil and the war for the world, we stand in your truth. We stand in your goodness. And Lord, we are people of faith, people of God, people of Jesus. And we're glad to be counted among the 1.2.5 billion people in the world who believe in you. We pray in Jesus' name all these things.